Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to another episode of A Sound Heart Radio. Very quickly, I want to read to you a verse from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13, which reads as follows, quote, "But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived," unquote. I would also like to read to you from Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. Galatians 5, verses 19 and 20. "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, plural, outbursts of wrath or anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy," this is verse 21, "murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God," unquote. Let me show you something in verse 20 from the Greek New Testament. So the first word, idolatry, in Greek it is idolatria. The second word that has been translated as sorcery, in the Greek New Testament, it is the word pharmakia, which from which you get our word pharmacy, or it has to do with pharmaceuticals or drugs. And so notice, Paul talks about pharmakia within the context of verse 19, which talks about the works of the flesh. And so I want to bring this information together to show you that both in the New Testament and in the Old Testament, there is this emphasis on the deification of violence and the worship of violence. In the last book of the Bible, the Revelation, the very last chapter of the book of Revelation, this same word appears that we have in Galatians 5. Now, notice this is Revelation 22, and verse 15 reads, "But outside are dogs," or unclean ones, "and sorcerers." It is the same word in the Greek. It is the word pharmakia. "And sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices the lie," not a lie. Now, there is no indefinite article in the Greek New Testament. The Greek New Testament on that has the definite article. It does not have the indefinite article A, or yes, we'll just leave it at that. Now, the reason why I want to emphasize this aspect for you tonight is because I want you to understand that biblical documents completely understand contemporary times. And this very corrupt ethos of violence that is worldwide has been anticipated by the biblical documents. Now we're going to turn to the Old Testament, to the book of Habakkuk. And Habakkuk was a prophet who was bewildered. He was perplexed about what was going on in his day. So let me read the beginning of verse 1. I'm going to read Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Habakkuk is, of course, one of the minor prophets, but his message is not minor at all. So verse 1, quote, "The oracle that Habakkuk the prophet received. How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen?" This is his complaint. "Or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save. Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong, destruction, and violence are before me? There's strife and conflict abounds." Does not this sound contemporary? "Therefore the law," that is the word of God, "the law is paralyzed." Literally, the word means cold. "And justice never prevails." Does that sound, does it not sound contemporary to you? "The wicked hem in the righteous," or literally surround, "the wicked surround the righteous so that justice is perverted." This reads like a contemporary newspaper. Habakkuk's prophecy is very telling. As he looks around, he is bewildered by what he sees. And like many today, he could not reconcile his belief in a good and righteous God with the facts of life as he saw them. He was troubled with an eternal why. And even today, a man of faith or a woman of faith will maybe find themselves bewildered at the many things that are going on today. We ask, why does God allow such awful crimes to go unchecked? Why doesn't God stop men or women in their mad rush if he is all powerful? Now, this was the prophet's complaint to God. And so in verse 1 of chapter 1, we read the oracle that Habakkuk the prophet received. Notice the language. The word for oracle is massa, and it is a masculine noun, which means burden or load. He goes before God with a complaint. And then at the beginning of verse 5, God answers. Verses 5 through 11, he receives his answer. In chapter 1, beginning of verse 12, we have the prophet's second complaint. Habakkuk struggled with the difficulty of reconciling his faith with what he witnessed. Unparalleled violence, endless violence, cruelty, injustice, ugliness. And so he wanted to understand. Now, during his time, the world empire of Assyria had finally fallen, as Nahum had prophesied. Egypt and Babylon had been contended for their place of power, and at the Battle of Carchemish in 605 BC, King Josiah was killed. The Babylonians were conquerors, and the great kingdoms of the Babylonians and the Chaldeans were united under Nebuchadnezzar. So this great book, God answers the horrified Habakkuk. Well, God's answer horrified, I should say, the horrified Habakkuk. He could not understand how God would allow such awful things to go on. And then God gives him this very, very strange answer that I don't have time to address on this show. But it seemed problematic in Habakkuk's mind. He wanted to understand God's answer. He was to find his answer not by looking around at what was going on, but by faith. Comforted him. Faith in God. Did not attempt to put God in a little box and say, okay, God, prove to me that you are God. Habakkuk did not worship a small God. J.B. Phillips wrote long ago in his book, Your God is Too Small. That was not Habakkuk's God. Habakkuk looked around and he understood the deification of violence in an age of structural nihilism. He understood what nihilism was. He understood the way people live when the ultimate values, the value of themselves. And Nietzsche believed that the only answer for humanity, according to his mind, was the superman, the overman, who would transcend the people of his time. Read about Nietzsche and read about tragedy that befell his life. He was the son of a pastor. Read about what happened to him. God understands so much more than we believe he does. Our answer will not be a condition of the human condition, will not be found from the mental health professionals, will not be found from the politicians, and that will not be found in religion. Our help will come from God himself, who transcends our orthodoxies. God has shown his love to mankind through his son, Christ Jesus, and his sacrifice on Calvary in 33 AD. Whosoever believes in him will not die, but have everlasting life. Good evening. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich, and God bless you.